Once upon a time, there was a peddler. And the peddler, he worked in a rural backwater of the Queen's kingdom. And he serviced a little collection of towns and villages, small towns, mind you. But one day, he was making his way down the dirt track, bumping along the dirt track with just his little cart with the schnick-schnacks and knick-knacks that he had to sell from one place to the next. And what does he see? But there in the dust, there's something glistening. And he gets down on his hands and knees and he looks at this glistening thing and he starts to paw away at the sides of it to reveal more of it. And what does he find there? Why, it's a gem. A gem so fine that you might only expect to see such a thing in the crown of royalty. So perfectly polished and cut. And he just looks around him like he's expecting to see a queen disappearing off into the distance or a princess wandering in the woods, that they must just have lost it just there and then because it's so special. But no one's there. There's no one there. All he can hear is the distant cawing of a bird. And he takes that gem and he puts it in his pocket. But as soon as it's in his pocket, why, he doesn't feel good. He doesn't feel at all good about this. What's he doing with it? What's he got? What if someone found out? How could a peddler like him, a poor peddler, ever have enough money to buy something like that? He must have stolen it. That would make him a robber. That would make him a thief. But what's he supposed to do? Leave it by the side of the road? No, he puts it in his pocket, and although he feels uncomfortable like crazy, well, he just keeps on going. He keeps on going. And he pulls his cart all the way to the next village. And in the village, he says, just in a sort of roundabout kind of offhand way, has any royalty been through here lately? And the people, they look at him askance and they say, royalty? We haven't had royalty, not even low-ranking royalty here for centuries. Are you aware what a backwater this is? He said, well, I was just wondering, I was just asking, but obviously that line of reasoning is not working out for him. So he just does his trade in and he moves on. But the next place, the next town he comes to, he says, why, could you tell me? Have there been any aristocrats wandering through the woods just not far off from here? The people look at him in exactly the same way. Well, then any spectacular robberies take place recently? And now they're really looking at him with suspicion. And they start to ask, but what's that to you? And what are you trying to hide? And as soon as he gets that kind of response, why, he immediately clams up and says nothing and tries to divert the conversation somewhere else. But it's clear. It's clear. There's no explanation. And that gem, why, it's burning a hole in his pocket, such that he feels he needs to move on as quick as he can, move on to the next place. And when he gets there, he decides he won't say a thing. He won't even mention the gem in his pocket, and he'll hope that no one notices the lump that's there. And so he doesn't. He doesn't even mention it. But the strange thing is that in this town, there's a great deal of excitement, a great deal of commotion going on. And the reason is, why, I'll tell you, the reason is the queen of the whole land, the queen of the whole realm. She's put out a proclamation that every town and every village must send one person to her who is the finest of all the singers in that place. Yes, and for this reason, everyone has to have a competition. They have to have a competition to decide who the best singer is. And so this town that's never been famous for anything like this and doesn't have much of a track record or even much infrastructure for finding good singers. Why, they've cobbled together a panel, and it has the priest on it and the local landlord and well, someone who studied music at some point, somewhere. And there the panel sit, and a long line of hopefuls, because don't we all want to be a nice singer? Doesn't everybody want to be recognised as a fine singer? Well, they were all there, all the ones that felt they had a chance, and even a few that were deluded and thought that they did have a chance, but there was no chance in hell they did have a chance. And so they were there in the queue as well, all lining up, and it was a big event, because not much happens in a place like this. And so everybody had turned out to watch. There were lots of jokes. Everyone brought their sandwiches with them, and the judges did their very best to decide who was the best singer, and increasingly felt a sense of tension about, well, have we actually got someone to send to the palace? Have we found anyone yet? Because there had been some good enough singers, but nothing really special. And the strange thing is that our friend, he is somehow transfixed. In a serious kind of way, not like it's an entertainment. No, he's transfixed. And without realising what's happening, he's being pulled closer and closer to the stage, edging his way through the crowds without realising that's what he's doing. Until he's right there, right on the edge of the stage where the singers are supposed to be singing. And it's towards the end of the day, and all the other singers, why, they've gone. The last of them has come, and the one of the judges is saying, well, is that all? Is that all? Anybody else? And our friend, he falls forward and into the area where the singers were doing their thing. Oh, one more, says one of the judges. Well, sing for us then. And the crowd take up the chant. One more, they all cry, because this has been a good, fun, entertaining afternoon. Nothing as fun as this has happened for a long time, and they want it to carry on. One more, they all cry, and all the children and all the babies, one more. And our friend, he turns around and he looks at the baying crowds, and something happens right then that no one was expecting. For that gem in his pocket, why, it revealed its true purpose right there and then. Yes, that gem in his pocket, why, it started to thrum, and it started to hum, and it sent a vibration that filled his whole body. Like he became like a tuning fork, the better to transmit the vibration of that mysterious gem. And he felt his throat go stiff, and he felt his throat go tight. And then when he opened his mouth, why, a song the likes of which you or I have never heard before came from his lips. So sweet, so melodious, so kind, so gentle, so touching, so lovely. Everybody was crying, except the children and the babies. No, they just stood with their mouths open. But all the adults, why, they all were touched in the tenderest place, in the place of disappointment, the place of sadness, the place of yearning, the place where they wished they'd done something else with their life. Somehow his song touched them there. That place where they felt that there was a dream they hadn't captured, that there was a hope they hadn't brought to being. All of them, touched to the core, but not in a harsh way. In the tenderest and sweetest way, they were touched. And he's just singing, and he hasn't a clue what's going on, for the gem is filling him with this whole song, and he's just opening his mouth and moving his lips and letting the song come out. And by the end of it, why, it's obvious. It's obvious to everybody there, except perhaps the babies who are just still staring at him, wondering what's going on, and the children who are starting to ask their mummy, what was that man and where did that man come from? But everybody else, well, it's obvious to them, they've found their singer. Oh, yes. They found their singer. And the judges are very relieved because their incompetence was weighing upon them all afternoon. And now they can confidently say that this is the town's representative. And so he's packed off with a bit of lunch, but nothing else, and just travelling in the same old normal clothes that he travels with. Travelling in the same old normal clothes that he would go around trading from town to village and all. And before long, he's joined by some others from other villages and towns. Yes, the finest singers of those places. Yes, they're all going down the road. They're all walking towards the Queen's Palace. And there's a lot of bickering and a lot of rivalry and quite a lot of peacocks in that ever-growing crowd. Yes, indeed, they've all dressed up for the occasion. Everybody, it seems, is dressed up except our friend because he doesn't have anything else to dress up in. And for him, this is all a bit bewildering. I mean, what's he doing there after all? And yet the gem in his pocket. Why, as he walks, it's no longer a source of guilt or of something he needs to hide, but a strange feeling of purpose, a strange sense of destiny. And before long, he's walking in a crowd, dozens strong. And before long, they get to the palace and they see the crowds coming from all directions. The Queen, indeed, has hundreds of singers to listen to. And why did she ask for this in the first place? Well, I don't think I told you about that. No, the Queen, you see, she'd become tired of the same old singers in her palace, the highly cultivated courtesan singers, the professors of music, the finely wrought voices from the conservatories that would populate her city. Yes, become fed up of the whole lot of them she had. And she dismissed them all one day and sent out the word that the provinces should provide her with something more authentic, more real. And thus the competition, and thus the crowd, and thus our friend amongst them. But pity the poor queen. Because all day she has to sit there and listen. And as the day goes on, why, disappointment is painted upon her face more and more strongly. Because all she finds herself listening to is a bunch of wannabes. It's the people who tried to make it in the city but couldn't, and then went off to the provinces to teach or do it a little bit on the side or keep their hopes alive somehow. But they all got taught in the same places as the ones that she got fed up with in the first place. So they sound equally cultivated and over-sophisticated and just not as good. She tries to be polite. But by the end, she's fuming. And a smugness begins to grow in the crowd of courtiers who have been rather shocked at her sudden discontent, especially amongst the musicians and singers that were so rudely dismissed, but couldn't miss the competition. They think they're all going to get their old jobs back. All that is until there's just one more singer. One more singer. And when he's invited up onto the stage, why, our friend the peddler, the same thing happens to him as happened before. But only this time it seems to happen with a more powerful resonance. It's like the gem fills his entire body with a song. A song so vivid, a song so electrifying, that all he has to do is let his lips part a tiny bit and it begins. It begins. And it floods through him and fills the room, and everybody there is touched. Everybody there is touched and brought to the remembering of the dreams they once had but never fulfilled. brought to a remembering even of things that they never really consciously articulated. But in that moment, they know they've been carrying all their lives a wish for wholeness, a wish that their life would make sense to them more than the life they are living now. And his song touches on everyone there, touches on everyone there, like a harpist touches on the strings of her harp. And they are all vibrating and they're all crying because it's a big deal. It's a big deal to have your hopes and your longings suddenly brought to life and for you to be put in touch with the mourning that they never happened. And the queen, wiping tears from her eyes, she said, You are the singer I have been waiting for. And she takes him away from all the crowds and she takes him into her chamber and it's just the two of them. And she says, empty your pockets. And he's been in a bit of a daze up till now and a bit bewildered by the whole thing, him being a mouthpiece and all for this song that he's never even heard before. But now he wakes up, now he snaps to attention and his heart starts to quicken and he feels scared. He says, Your Majesty, I empty your pockets, she said, and her voice is kind. And so he does, and he pulls out the knick-knacks and schnick-snacks that he still has kind of knocking around inside of there. But at the bottom of one of the pockets, why, there's the gem. And she says, where did you find this? And he explained to her about finding it in the dust and in the dirt, on an obscure pathway at the edges of her kingdom. And she said, very good, for this is my gem that I have lost, and you have found it for me. And he said, Your Majesty, when did you lose it? When were you ever walking in such an obscure place? I don't understand. She said, you're not meant to understand. You're not meant to understand, that's not even your job. But I'll tell you what I want you to do now. I want you to go out into my kingdom and I want you to walk all the byways and the highways and all the back streets and all the obscure places. And I want you to find for me all the gems that I've lost, all the gems that I've scattered throughout my kingdom. I want to have them all found for me. Now, will you do that? He says, of course I will. And he takes the queen's gold and he goes walking. And he walks in all the obscure places. He's used to that. But newly obscure places he's never seen before. Just wandering. And at first he doesn't know what he's doing. Before long, he starts kicking up from the dust, just by accident, kicking up from the dust, gems and jewels, and filling his pockets with them. Soon he's got so many, he needs a sack. Soon he's got so many, he needs several, and then he needs a cart and a donkey. And soon he's got so much that it's time to return back to the queen. And when he comes back, why, the queen, she is crying. She's crying and she's saying, you have been my loyal servant. Now I'll tell you what I want you to do now. He said, what? She said, go out into my kingdom again. Go out into my kingdom again and I want you to sell all of my gems. Sell them all to anyone who will buy them. And he says, well, what price should I set? And she said, whatever they can afford. And so he does. He goes out into her realm and he sells all of her gems. And to the poor, why, he asks very little. To the rich, a great deal. but such that everyone would value what they've bought. But these gems are unlike any other. They are not for adorning your clothes or making fine tiaras from them. No, these gems, when you hold them in your hand, when you have them in your pocket, why? They remind you of all the places in you that's heartbroken because you never did what you always, always longed to do. They remind you of what you're here for. They remind you of the one thing that if you could do it would matter to you more than anything else. And throughout the Queen's realm, there grew such fulfillment, wherever the peddler went, until before long where people were finding the gems in the dust themselves, yes, and they might feel the same as him of guilty and what am I doing with a thing like this. When they saw all their friends who already had the ones from the peddler, why, then they believed that maybe they too could have a gem like this. And before long, why, everyone's finding them in the dust. Everyone's finding them in the dust. And remembering the one true thing they came here for. The one true thing that if they could do it, would make their life perfectly complete. And I was there. Yes, I was there. I was there quite a while ago. I think I was just cruising around and feeling a bit lost. I was unsure of myself and my purpose in my life. And I found myself in that place. It just so happened. I found myself just there in that place, not sure what it was I should be doing next. And looking, as ever, for a story. Yes, looking for a story I was, because I didn't have one. And I was walking through the land and all of a sudden my shoes, they kick up this gem. They kick up this gem and I think to myself, what kind of a place is this? Where the gems are just lying in the dust like that? What kind of a place am I in? And as I looked down and I took it in my hands and I polished it up, for some reason I felt compelled, yes, compelled I was, to hold it to my ear. And when I did that, why, what did I hear? I heard a story. Yes, a story so fine and so lovely that I've remembered it ever since. In fact, I've remembered it and kept it safe, like a gem, like a jewel that you mustn't share until you're absolutely ready to do so. And that story is the story that I just told you.